Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Listen, it's the Vert Show.
Hey, Deb, it's happening. It's happening.
Okay, should we play this cool? Do we need to play this cool?
Are we way past cool?
We're so past cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she called a radio station to find this dude she was vibing with for a couple of hours. Yeah. We're way past cool at this point.
And then all of us confessed our love for this guy.
Yeah.
By all of us, I mean me specifically. But
yeah, if you guys don't end up in a long-term relationship, there are five people in studio that would like to date him. All right, so Deb, if you weren't listening yesterday, Deb told us that she was hanging out at a club one night in Buckhead, and she started vibing with this dude, and they were really getting along really well. And she's like, you know what, at the end of the night, you guys, I got to be honest with you, I got so drunk that when we exchanged phone numbers, or I gave him my phone number, I accidentally, like, messed up my phone number. And she couldn't figure out why this guy wasn't hitting her back. He probably woke up going, oh my gosh, you gave me the wrong number. I can't trust women anymore. I can't trust my instincts. Well, she calls us up and she's like, nah, I gave him the wrong number. So she had so many details about this guy yesterday. We were feeling pretty confident that we were going to find him.
And sure enough, it happened within the walls of the studio. Cassie did digging on LinkedIn. Also, our producer Katie had friends at the same college that he went to at Morehouse, and it all came together, and bum ba ba da, there was Sam.
So she told us he was 29. She even knew his birthday, October 13th. She knew his height. She knew that he went to Morehouse and played baseball there, had spent some time in Philly. I mean, lived in College Park now, just knew so much. So with that research, yeah, like Kristen was saying, Cassie and Rebecca and everybody, we found this dude, and we were all very, very impressed.
Yes.
So here we are, Deb. We reach out to the dude, and you are on the cusp of reconnecting with him because he's agreed to come back on with us here in a couple of seconds.
Okay.
All right. Now, how are you feeling about things? You excited? You feel silly? What's up?
You know, it's a cluster of emotions. I'm excited, but also I'm trying to play it cool. I don't know how well I'm doing that, but... And then I'm also, yeah, a little silly because I'm like, geez, I had to go through all of this. But, you know, we had a connection, and I think it was the fact that I knew and remembered as much about him, that is like a testament to our interaction as well. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if Sam remembers you.
I agree. We usually call this segment Love, Lost, and Found. She, in her email, renamed it for us, called Find Her Boo.
Okay.
So let us introduce you to Boo. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, Bert?
Good. How you doing, man?
Hey, it's early, man. I'm tired, but I'm here.
We appreciate you calling and coming on with us. You must have been stunned yesterday. Were you getting calls? Were people like, hey, I think they might be talking about you on the radio?
Man, no. One of my boys actually hit me up, and he was like, man, they're talking about somebody on the radio and sounds just like you. Actually, just like you. And I was just like, well, yeah. And then Tommy just hit my phone, and he just said, hey, this person, she's been looking for you. You should come on to the show and just talk to us a bit about her. And again, two things just connected, and here we are.
Here we are.
All right, so let's go back to the club that night. You're at Blue in Buckhead. You're right. Talking to Deb. Like, do you remember this interaction?
I do.
and you know that she gave you the phone number, and were you feeling like you were vibing with her the same way she was? She was like, there was like, we were really, really kind of like connected that night.
Yeah, we were. Honestly, the conversation was going. Now, maybe it was the drinks, too. as she told you, she was drunk, therefore. But I do remember the details, and of course, she remembered the details about me. So, yeah. And at one point of the night, earlier on, we locked eyes, and she threw me a smile. So I just said, you know what? We're going to have this conversation, and I'm going to make sure that you put your number in my phone before you leave.
All right. Oh, so she puts the number in your phone. Did you try calling said number?
I didn't, not initially.
You didn't send a text even?
Not even a text, because I was there answering the call. And of course, I was starving at the moment in time, too.
Oh, he's coming.
As the night generally progresses, we just definitely started talking a bit more. And then, yeah, I just said I would text her later on after that encounter.
We missed a large chunk of that because your phone went out, but no worries. So let's just go ahead and get you on with Deb. All right, Deb, Sam, Deb.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Oh, it's going well.
Oh, and Sam, her voice doesn't sound the same because she's on the voice disguiser, so don't think she sounds like that.
No, that's exactly how she sounds in real life. So, it's no wonder why you didn't text her back. I mean, who could live with that? All right, Deb, you were bold enough to, like, hit us up with all of the details. So now what?
I didn't think that far. Yeah, I don't know.
That's not a question for Deb to answer.
It's a question for Sam, I guess.
Thank you, Kristen, because I was low-key thinking that. But
Yeah. No, I was high-key thinking it. This is now, the ball is now in Sam's court. So we need to know how Sam would like to proceed.
Well, first I need to get the right number.
That's a fair point.
Uh-huh.
But also, yeah, we're just going to, you know, set some time up. I was thinking mini golf at first, right? Something light, something casual, a little competitive, not ideally competitive, but yeah, just getting to know each other. And I do remember all the details. I do remember she went to state. She studied psychology. She currently works in education. I think that night she was wearing some short jeans and I think a light blue shirt, but nice legs though.
Attention to detail.
Okay, that's how a guy thinks, right?
Yes, exactly that.
I'll remember that.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let us put both you guys on hold. And Deb, with your approval, which it sounds like we have, we will give him your correct phone number. You guys take it from here.
All righty.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, Sam, appreciate you hitting us back, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred and crew. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye.
I already have the perfect couple name for them.
What?
Because if you put Sam and Deb together, you either get Seb or you get Damn.
Damn is good.
I like that.
Damn is good. It was it troublesome? Because I saw Mo's face when he said he didn't try to text or call.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I asked if he had attempted, and if like the number was, if he had attempted and the number was indeed wrong, it showed, I think, more initiation on his part and more interest on his part. But since that hadn't happened, I was slightly concerned. No?
Yeah. No, I felt the same exact way. Like, I probably, if I was him, I would have at least lied and said I did try to, even if I didn't.
But Sam's a good-looking dude. Maybe he got a lot of numbers that night, and maybe he texted one of those numbers, but he wasn't not interested in Deb.
If he completely wasn't interested, he wouldn't have hit us back.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
So there's some interest there.
Definitely.
All right, either way, their future is not our problem. We got them together.
We did our part.
We did our part.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
All right, Sydney here now. Next assignment needs our help. She is super confused on why for years she's gone on like a girls group vacation. And for whatever reason, this year she wasn't invited and hits us up and she wanted us to do some homework and figure out and find out exactly why she wasn't invited this year. Hey, Sydney.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Tell us where the confusion lies here, the history of these girls' trips, and maybe some hunches on why you weren't invited this year. And then we will tell you why you weren't invited because we reached out.
Oh, wow. Okay. So about 6 months ago, I ended my, I guess, my friendship with my entire friend group. There are a group of us that have been friends for several years, and I'm not really sure if it was a mutual thing or if it was just me ending it, but it happened after... okay, so we have a tradition of having a girls' weekend trip once a year, right? And this year would have been our third trip. But I found out after the fact that I'd been left out of the planning of the girls' trip, which really hurt my feelings, and it was confusing. And all I knew was that it had been postponed. That's what they told me. It was a scheduling conflict for one of the other girls. And then I found out after the fact that they went ahead with it but never told me. Obviously, I was hurt. I asked them why.
Yeah.
They all seemed to say that they said that they didn't realize. I didn't know.
That'll make it better.
Mm-hmm. How many girls? How many girls go on this trip?
There's five of us.
Five of us. So all five forgot.
Well, there five of them, if including you, so then four.
Yeah, four. All four.
Including me.
All
yeah.
four forgot. Come on. None of us are buying that.
That does not smell
not
right.
Right.
That smells actually really, really rank.
Like if it was a group of like 15 to 20 girls, mm-hmm. then I could totally see somebody being left off. But that many, it's very, very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was almost like they took me off the group chat and started their own group chat.
Oh, yeah, because that's so bizarre, because you would have the group chat, because I do the same thing with three other girlfriends, and we do a weekend trip every November, and we've been doing it for years. And if they were to go and I got left out, or that just, it wouldn't happen. Like, there's intent behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So they kept being like, oh, I thought so-and-so told you, and so-and-so, and like somebody forgot, whatever. But it definitely feels like they were holding something back. Like I was just saying about the text chain, like it just feels like they completely were like trying to like push me out of the trip.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that. They did. They 100% did. That's a BS answer right there. So let's focus on what could be real. So did anything happen to you between one of the girls in the group? Because if one is really uncomfortable, she could sort of like the chemistry changes and they might have tried to push you out based on just one argument or fight you had with one of the girls in that group. Did any of that happen?
Honestly, no. I mean, there's nothing that I knew. Like, we were all best friends. And it's just really sad that I just don't have them anymore. You know, I talked to my husband and, you know, I was expressing my hurt and all this. And he was just like, oh, they're not good people. But that's not how I really feel, you know. So I just really want to know what happened.
So you mentioned that you have a husband. I think I just heard that. Are all the others single?
No, they're married.
Do they all party differently than you? My hunch might be just like, oh, they go out, they get drunk, they have a great time, but you just are not into it, so they didn't want you on the trip?
I mean, every time we've gone, we've had a great time. I can't think of anything that would have been, you know, I mean, I like to drink, I like to get tipsy, you know, they do also. It doesn't seem like, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm actually kind of confused myself thinking about it. I'm trying to go back to our trips, and we have all had fun. We have these great photos and great memories and stuff, but I'm just, I really don't know.
Yeah, this would irk me to no end.
Yeah.
So, I would want to know.
Sydney, do you think they're switching up where they're going? Do you guys typically go to, like, the same kinds of cities? Like, do you typically go to more party cities or more, like, beachy cities? Maybe they think you wouldn't be into this trip, do you think?
It varies. We all vote on it before the trip. And we've done beachy cities. We've done, you know, Vegas. I'm not sure where the trip was this year, so.
All right. We can guess and guess and guess and guess, but our show director, Tommy, reached out to one of the girls in the group. And you will get full honesty here on exactly why you haven't been invited this year, okay? You ready for that?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, Tommy will tell you everything and you will be crystal clear on exactly why.
Great. All right. Sounds good.
Do that next on The Burt Show.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
In pure transparency, Mo, whenever you wear that shirt, it makes me feel very insecure.
Why?
You have to look at it like this. Everywhere I wear it, I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
It's not just here.
But I'm only with you here.
Fair.
He's got a shirt on that says, I hate it here.
I hate it here.
So if you're watching a video, it's like Mo is like blinking twice because he's a hostage. he's giving you subtle hints like he wants out.
No, it's just a popular phrase I say on my podcast all the time about the things that happen in the world.
I'm not taking it personally.
No. It's no one here or nobody. No, it's nothing to do with this show.
Yeah, he doesn't hate it here in studio. He hates it here on Earth, period.
Like everywhere.
I was going to get a matching one that says I also hate it here.
That's why.
Beats the alternative.
I love it here.
No.
Like, not being here at all.
Not here at all. Right.
Most days.
All right, let's get back to Sydney here. We need to close this up for her, man, because she's really, really confused. Kristen, you want to give the recap here?
Yeah, so Sydney hit us up because she doesn't understand why she got left out of a girls' trip. So she and four other friends for the past 2 years have done this girls' trip together. And this year, she was looking forward to it. It got rescheduled, but then she never heard anything about it until after the fact. So these four girls went on this girl trip without her. When she confronted them, they were like, oh, I thought Susie told you. Oh, I thought Vicky told you. Oh, I thought Kara told you. Like, they all pointed the finger at each other.
Lies, lies, lies.
But they had started their own group chat and didn't include her. So it's like they obviously knew what they were doing and they excluded her on purpose. Now it's just getting down to the why. Sydney is hurt. Her husband has told her these aren't friends that you want because they did this to you. But still, mm-hmm. it's painful to know that four women went out of their way to make sure you were not included on their girls' trip.
Yeah, he's not wrong. All right, so Sydney, are you bracing yourself here? Because our show director, Tommy, reached out to at least one of the girls in the group, Tommy.
And her name's Rebecca.
Rebecca?
Uh-huh.
Do you and Rebecca have a decent relationship?
Yeah, I mean, she's part of the group. I'm not as close with her as I am with the other women because she's newer to the group, but, you know, I never had any problems with her.
Yeah. She's been chosen as tribute.
Yeah, in with the new, out with the old. Bye-bye. All right, so Tommy, what'd you find out from Rebecca?
All right, so she's familiar with our show, and she was willing to give some closure to Sydney, so here's what she said. I have to admit that my perspective on the situation with Sydney and our friend group remains unchanged. First and foremost, I want to make it clear that our decision to distance ourselves from Sydney was not taken lightly. The discomfort within our group grew from observing her behavior, particularly her interactions with other men while she's married. It was unsettling to witness her flirting, especially when some of those men were also married. While it might sound judgmental, we just couldn't ignore how uncomfortable we were with it. We also felt like continuing to invite her out, where she had the opportunity to be around other men, was in a way condoning her behavior. In hindsight, maybe our approach wasn't the most transparent. It's not about being vindictive, but rather about prioritizing our comfort and values, which she obviously does not share. Rebecca.
If Judgy Wudgy was a bear, Judgy Wudgy would send an email to Tommy.
All right, Sydney. So, I mean, do you know this? I mean, this is what they're seeing. Do you feel this about yourself? Because there are some women I know that will just say, hey, you know what? I am a flirt. I don't go anywhere with it, but I'm kind of a flirty woman. Are you like that?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I've always been easy to make friends with people, and you know, when we go out, I like to have fun and be friendly with people, but that's not, I've never had like any intention of doing anything. Like, I am married.
Yeah, you've never crossed a line as a fellow flirter, because I'm flirtatious by nature as well, and I enjoy conversations with strangers and learning about them, and
that's not flirting, though.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, one person's kindness is another person's flirt. It just depends on how you look at it.
Maybe she's getting more attention from dudes than the other women on the trip. Maybe
that's what I was thinking.
Could that be it? Maybe.
So, I mean, if anything, okay.
So let's go over on that far side of the room and say you are a massive flirt and it does make them uncomfortable. As your friends, they should have told you this rather than kick you out of the trip. Like, I hate when people do this. Like, you can't fix a problem unless you know there's a problem. And you have to be able to talk to somebody and give them a chance to either rectify their behavior or be like, sorry, this is a you problem, not a me problem. I'm not going to change. So you can kind of have that come to Jesus conversation. After that point, whatever you decide and whatever boundaries you need to set up, and if that's them not inviting you on the trip, that's one thing. But I feel like the way they went about it was more catty than friendly.
It feels very holier than thou. Like in this email, she's saying that she didn't want to invite you because she was prioritizing their comfort and their values, because obviously you don't value the same things that they do. Sounds like they were not good friends in this situation.
You're kind of in a tight corner with your husband, though, reporting back to him on this. Because, I mean, she can't really say like, oh, well, guess what the reason was that they kicked me off the trip. I'm flirting with all these dudes and they were uncomfortable with it. So I'm not sure how you're going to handle that one.
But does your husband know you're a flirt?
Yeah, I mean, he would not even be mad about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think he was right as far as they're not worth your friendship if this is the way they're going to handle things.
I agree.
You agree with that?
Well, now I do.
Yeah, just let it go.
But I mean, I'm sorry, because I mean, that's four friends that are just like, pff, like that you thought you had. And yeah. So I'm really sorry that you're in this position.
Yeah, it was a support system that I have to rebuild, unfortunately.
So. For sure. All right, Sydney.
Hashtag team flirt.
Bye-bye. Take care.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Listen. It's the Vert Show.
Feels very strange going into a segment hoping that Rebecca finds out that she is autistic.
Well, those are Rebecca words.
Uh-huh.
Not your words.
Not my words. She said that she was hoping that when she went to the doctor, the results would come back that she is indeed autistic.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just looking for answers. It's kind of something that I've thought for a pretty long time. I've always kind of been wondering if I could be on the spectrum, if I am autistic. It would make sense for a lot of things in my life, for my social cues, for my attention span, my sensory issues. So I went to my psychologist and I asked her to whip up the questionnaire. She said, okay, and now I'm going to get some answers.
So before you went to your doctor to get the official questionnaire, did you go online and take any of them there?
Oh my God, so many quizzes. Yes, there are so many. If you just Google, am I autistic? It'll just autofill. And I took everything, like everything under the sun. And it almost always was like, okay, you kind of fit what would be, it's just, it was always confusing. Because sometimes it would say no, sometimes it would say yes. But it would always say, go talk to your doctor.
Okay.
Which is, I'm glad the internet.
Yeah, right.
Like you just didn't take a BuzzFeed quiz and yes. Find out that not only am I the Cinderella Disney princess, but I'm also autistic.
Yeah.
So I know you sort of like gave us some of the symptoms, but can you give us like real life examples of missing a social cue or where your attention span has hurt you so much in some area that you're hoping to get some kind of relief?
When I have conversations with people and I'm not extremely comfortable with them, I kind of find myself almost looking outside of myself, watching myself, listening to the conversation, thinking about, okay, am I making the right facial gesture right now? Okay, she's just said something. Now you have to say something. What are you going to say? Just like, it feels like it's not natural to me. It's not like robotic, but it just feels like I'm kind of 10 steps behind trying to make sure that a conversation flows in a way that is natural.
I think I witnessed this once.
Yeah.
And tell me to shut up if you don't want me to share.
Oh, no, please.
Okay. So we all went to go see the Barbie movie together. And then afterwards, we go to like this food market to get some food and also to get a beverage because they had a bar. And we're standing at the bar waiting on the bartender to come over. There's only one dude back there. And he wasn't like slammed, but he was, you know, he was busy. And then he comes over to us and your interaction with the bartender ordering your drink was unique.
Yeah.
Because you ordered, she goes, can I have a Coke and a splash of rum instead of like a rum and Coke?
Oh, I was there.
She goes, can I have Coke with a splash of rum? And he kind of looked at her like, a rum and Coke? And she goes, but a splash of rum. And he's like, so do you want, and but I could see her getting frustrated trying to like articulate what she wanted, but he wasn't picking up on it. And it was just, I don't know why that sticks out in my head. It was just a very, and because one, I've never heard anybody order a Coke with a splash of rum before.
It just sounds like you don't want a full shot of rum.
But you did.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Okay.
Because he goes, so you don't want a full, she's like, no, I do. I just want to splash. No, it was so awkward. Okay.
Now, when something like that happens and the interaction happens and now you know he's confused and you have expressed something that was confusing to him, in your mind, you start panicking a little bit?
I don't panic anymore. I used to panic, but I just feel frustrated because I don't understand why what I'm saying is not really coming across. I'm like, do they not understand? Are they being obtuse? Am I being weird? And it happens so often, honestly, that someone will be like, what was that? And I'm like, I don't know.
It must be so confusing for you. Like, am I the one that's not communicating properly, or are they not listening properly?
Exactly.
And that's happening all the time for you.
It literally ended like, okay, a rum and Coke. And he made her a rum and Coke. And her, like, your face said it all because you were like, what are you not understanding what I'm saying?
So the way that Rebecca is going to find out if she has autism and tell you guys also is the most Rebecca thing I've ever seen. You want to explain exactly what's happening here?
Yes. So I wanted to reveal whatever my status is as a celebration, because this is something that I want to celebrate. So I brought in my autism reveal cake.
Kristen, you want to give a description on exactly what that cake looks like with a splash of sugar?
Yes. So Rebecca's autism cake is a small two-tiered round pink cake that has been smothered in star sprinkles. On the top, it looks like there was like a light lime green that was around the edge of the top and the bottom that has melted. There is a bunch of little pearls also outlining the cake. And then in a very shimmery, see-through icing, she spelled autism with, I believe, a heart over the eye.
Yes.
Aww. So awesome. That is the autism cake.
And I'm curious about the card next to the autism cake.
So my friend Rachel, thank you, she baked me this cake and she crumb coated it so that I could decorate it, which I did the beautiful decorating.
Yeah, make sure everybody knows she did not decorate that.
She did not decorate it. She's a great baker. I am not.
Yeah, based on the decoration, we can all tell you have autism.
Honestly, I might not need to even cut in.
I was thinking,
don't even cut in.
But she did. She gave me this card because I had my psychologist forward my results to her.
So you have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know. Oh, wow. And I'm really nervous, actually. This is pretty nerve-wracking.
All right, so you're going to cut into it. What's it going to, if you do have autism, when you cut into the cake, what will you see?
I have a color code.
Okay.
So if the cake is blue, it says autism, positive sign. If it's a normal cake color, and I believe this is just a yellow cake, I will be neurotypical. But then there's a third option.
Oh, geez.
And it has a little box and a question mark pointing to a box and a question mark. And I don't know what that
the
means.
Hell?
And I'm kind of scared.
Oh, wow, that's mean to do to somebody that thinks they have autism.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let's cut the cake.
All right. Okay. All right.
I still don't know what to celebrate. Okay. So we're looking for the blue.
What do you want?
You said 70% of you wanted this to be positive for autism.
I think I will feel relief if it is blue and I have autism.
Okay.
All right.
Come
here
on,
we go.
This
here
strangest
we go.
Thing we've done in 23 years.
It really honestly is.
Blue.
She's cutting into it.
Okay. It's kind of hard.
Give us a nice look-see when you bring it out.
It is red velvet.
It's red.
It's a girl. Okay, so I think that is the question mark. So you're going to have to open the card and figure this out because it's not blue.
Most confusing reveal of all time.
Oh, my God.
So wait, are we sad?
I don't know. Give me an emotion.
Okay, the card says brace yourself.
Okay, what? Has your friend been tested for autism?
Maybe
she should be. Wait a second. This card has a cat on it with a fruit bowl in front of it, yes. And it says brace yourself?
It says brace yourself.
What are we bracing ourselves for?
I'm like kind of shaking now. This is like actually kind of scary. Okay. It says, Dear Rebecca, after our previous session where we completed several assessments together, your results show that you do not meet the diagnostic criteria for autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You do, however, meet the diagnostic criteria to fit a diagnosis for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. And then there's a lot of like clinical. Okay. ADHD is often undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, especially for girls and women. I am happy to discuss what this diagnosis means for you so we can begin discussing treatment goals.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So how does that make you feel?
I'm like kind of like, It's like kind of shocking because I was expecting something like so different, but we did do a lot of assessments. So it's interesting because I guess I was convinced that I was going to be autistic.
Well, I think once you chew on it, I think you just wanted some direction on why you were struggling. So while it might not be autism, at least you have a diagnosis now that you could start working on. So the future looks a lot, will give you more peace.
I think this is definitely an answer, and I do appreciate that, though it's not what I expected.
you seem disappointed.
I don't know. I guess I kind of do feel disappointed.
I feel like it's a strange Christmas where you were sure you were going to get one present, and you open it up and you didn't get it, but you still got a pretty good present, but it wasn't what you were expecting.
Yeah. You can ask Santa for autism next year.
Oh, my God.
Well, congratulations on getting some answers.
Yes, this is an answer, so I do appreciate it.
Congratulations on being neurodivergent and not neurotypical, so we got that at least.
I'm based on that.
Yay, but we're all sorry you're not autistic.
But can we eat the cake now?
Yes, of course.
I'd like some autism cake.
The most bizarre segment we've done in a very long time.
I don't know what happened.
And I appreciate you bringing it to us.
The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Tory Lanez will spend 10 years in prison for the Megan Thee Stallion shooting. So this happened about 3 years ago in the summer of 2020. He and Megan were leaving Kylie Jenner's house and he shot Megan in the foot. The maximum sentence for this was about 22 years and 8 months in prison. And due to a law recently passed in California, courts are now required to impose the middle length of that sentencing, unless there's aggravating circumstances. But his attorney thinks that it was a little harsh. He thinks he only got that much time because he's a celeb. And obviously, he wasn't the only one that was upset about this sentencing. Tory Lanez's father went on like this tirade about Jay-Z. And the reason he did this is because Jay-Z founded the entertainment industry that manages Megan Thee Stallion. And he believes that Jay-Z pulled the strings to make Megan win the case. He's a mad dad.
I'm asking Mo this because he knows more about the hip-hop community than I do. Does he have a fairly clean record before all of this, or is he always kind of known to be like in the middle of stuff?
He was always kind of in the middle of stuff. Okay. I mean, nothing that was this serious, but he seemed to always put himself in really bad situations. And I feel like that's what his lawyer and his dad is not considering, is that like even through the trial, when they were determining what his punishment was going to be, he was still running around getting in fights with people, punching people in the face. He's putting himself in reckless situations. And this is what I think the judge took into consideration.
Yeah, I say this to my 16-year-old quite a bit, that you can do whatever you want, right? But you have no control over the repercussions once you get in the system, right? If you do, you have to be responsible for your actions. And when you do something wrong, once you get into the system, it doesn't matter if it's fair or not. You wouldn't have been there had you not done what you did.
Mm-hmm. And the celebrity works both ways, because the way that they're saying they believed he was tried harder for being a celebrity, I think he had a bit of entitlement of thinking that he was untouchable because he was celebrity. He was a celebrity, and that's why he was behaving the way he was.
But that shouldn't excuse the misjustices that do happen within the system, because they do exist. So, yes, you shouldn't have got yourself there, but you should still be treated fairly once you get there. And I think there are still strides, massive strides that need to be made to make it a more fair justice system.
For sure.
Well, we're also talking about Jay-Z. The music festival that he oversees was canceled, and people think that it's Lizzo's fault. So Lizzo's been in the middle of this really controversial lawsuit where some of her former dancers have accused her of having a hostile work environment and sexual harassment. And we even talked about Beyonce getting rid of her name in her Break My Soul remix at her concerts. And now that the Made in America Festival has been canceled that she was supposed to headline, people think it's all because of this lawsuit. So they put out a statement that says, due to severe circumstances outside of production's control, the 2023 Made in America Festival will no longer occur. And because it's so mysterious and it's not very specific, people are kind of blaming Lizzo.
Do you think production, production is just over it and like, stop blaming us? Because like with Adele and her concert getting pushed in Vegas, it's production's fault. Here, it's production's fault. It seems like whenever there, it doesn't matter what's really going on behind the scenes, poor production's the one that's got to take the fall every single time.
And those are people I would not mess with, man. Yeah. You piss them off in the middle of a song, you don't have any idea how they're going to get back at you.
They've been through some stuff. Ed Sheeran, this is a story we also talked about. So he was at a concert and did a gender reveal at a show in Kansas City. And it was this really beautiful moment. Ed's a girl dad. He got to go up on stage and say, hey, turns out you're having a girl, to this beautiful couple who was so excited in the audience. Well, turns out it was the wrong gender. So whatever family member had written down on the piece of paper that they had given to Ed Sheeran for this gender reveal, they had looked at the mother's gender and had assumed that it was the baby's gender. So obviously the mother's gender was female. And so they'd written down female, had even planned this other surprise party with pink cannons. And turns out they're actually having a boy. Oh. It's a boy. And they're not considering Ed Sheeran's name for the boy, obviously.
It's actually an even better story if you're the family now.
Exactly.
The Bird Show.
Two thoughts here, okay? Two things that have been on my mind this morning. Both strange. Both really one sad, one strange. No, both sad. So
I got to bring sad in. What if we don't want to hear the sad?
Sad in a funny way. The other one just really bummed me out the more I watched it. The first one was, so I put on Instagram that I've been taking these cold water showers in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. And people have been recently suggesting that I give them any kind of like health advice that I might have accumulated over the years. I'm not professional, but people seem to like the way that I work out, so they've asked me. So this week's was try a cold shower, right?
They like your body.
First thing in the morning, I like my body. So I suggested that cold water shower, which Mo tried for a couple of weeks here, and you gave up on that thing.
Yeah, you told me to just try it for 5 days, and then after that, I probably would get used to it. And that was, well, some of the worst 5 days of my life. I absolutely hated it, and I stopped.
It's never easy, but the dopamine hit that I get every single morning is like, it's stunning as soon as you walk into a super cold shower, and then you regulate your breathing, and then you can do it. I'm up to like 3 minutes now, and
that's impressive.
My caffeine intake is less, and I just feel like I'm in such a better mood in the morning. I have more energy. So I suggested it, and I did an Instagram story where I showed people, not my body or me naked, but just showed me turning on the cold water. So you got a really good sort of sense of exactly what's in my shower, right? So many people are stunned by the fact that I have a washcloth in the shower.
Are you serious?
This brings us back to our initial conversation months and months and months ago about how white people aren't using washcloths enough. That it was the one thing that people focused on, like, oh my God, you use a washcloth? I never use one. Right? So that was the first sad thing.
I also noticed we have white towels and washcloths, but yours is a maroon, I guess, in case for streaks. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm generally pretty good there.
Yeah, yeah.
The second thing is probably more serious, man. And we haven't had a chance to talk about this thing yet, but that dog fight in Alabama.
Oh, yeah, you and I were discussing it. I thought you said dog fight for a second.
I'm sorry.
But you're talking about the riverboat dock fight that happened in Montgomery, Alabama.
Holy crap, you guys.
It's taking the country by storm as far as people either being upset about it or making fun of it, because the memes have been plentiful from this.
Well, yeah. It has sort of become almost like a punchline, but for me, it hasn't been. So if you haven't seen it, I don't even know how you could or you couldn't. It's all over the internet now. There was a group in a pontoon boat, all white people in a pontoon boat, I'll just be honest with you, that were taking up space on a dock. And there was a cruise ship in a riverboat that was bringing people in that was supposed to go into that spot. That was filled with predominantly black passengers. So the white folks in the pontoon boat refused to get out of the spot. So one of the captains on the boat gets off the dock and he's pissed. He's like, you guys got to get out of that spot right there. I mean, I got a whole bunch of people here. Move your pontoon boat. And it got real aggressive really quickly where somebody attacked the captain. They were in a verbal argument where some white dude comes out of nowhere and starts to agitate the black dude, black captain, physically. They get in a fight, and then a bunch of other white people start jumping on the black dude. Then you see black people from the dock and actually jump off the boat and swim to the dock to get into this melee that has now occurred. You haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen this.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It keeps going. So the dock worker is trying to tell them to move the boat, and I don't know what happened, but they started attacking him. He's on the ground, and he's got multiple people coming after him, and everybody's like, oh, hell no. And so people start coming to his defense, and then the fight gets bigger, and then you catch it from a different angle, and then that's when the chair comes out, and people are getting hit over the head with the chair, and they're still going at it. I mean, police came, multiple people were arrested. It was insane.
People getting thrown in the water, women getting punched in the face, dudes punching each other. It was really, really bad, and nobody could control it. And, you know, at first it was sensational to watch. Kristen showed me the entire video. I hadn't seen a clip, and then it was sensational to watch. Like, oh my God, look at all these people beating each other up. And then the more I watched it, because every single time you watch it, you see something different in it. It just made me, like, it was so racially charged, clearly racially charged, that it just was so freaking sad.
It was sad. Violence, it should just never be the answer, period, at the end of the day. But I do think there was a divide racially of how the video was viewed because of the fact that the black dude attempted to genuinely just be attempting to do his job. That's all he wanted to do. And for whatever reason, these four or five white guys just jumped on him, and they were really trying to hurt him for doing his job. And so as much as you hate to see violence, there are a lot of people who felt like they did appreciate the fact that there were other black people in the area who just simply weren't going to allow this to happen and that they came to his aid. And unfortunately, if you are defending yourself, sometimes you have to use violence to match violence.
So I think three of the dudes were charged yesterday. Three of the white guys, I think, were charged yesterday.
Oh, I have no idea what the update is.
I think
so.
I think they were. But man.
I think the three of them and then the black guy who used the chair to continue to hit people towards the end of the fight.
It's crazy,
now,
man.
Now, listen, I do not condone violence, but you do have to give credit where credit's due. And the people who reenacted it, have you seen the reenactment?
The reenactment. And it was out, like, I mean, hours after this thing went viral.
It
was pretty good.
It's not real.
They reenacted the whole
thing. There was a white family and a black family at a pool, and they got together, and they decided to do a dramatic reenactment of what happened.
It was actually funny.
And it is spot on.
It's hilarious.
Really?
Because they used the real audio.
Yes.
And were they using like little kids and stuff in it?
No, not little kids. It was just these grown. It was grown folks.
It was adults.
Yeah,
a white family and a black family, and they had like the white roles and the black roles, and they just reenacted the entire thing.
The guy swimming across the pool to get jumped out of the pool like he's onto the dock. Yes. It was a whole.
I thought it was another real fight until I saw how they were hitting each other like with wide sweep. It was. It's hilarious. You should look at
okay,
it.
I can at least get a laugh out of that.
Yes,
one.
You can.
Get it, The Bird Show.
All right, so into the email, because she wanted to be super sexy, get all naked for her man, and it backfired on her, and she's not exactly sure how she can reverse this thing. If you have something going on in your life you want to share with us, hit us up at thebirdshow.com. Your guys' drama is our lifeblood. Help, Bird Show. My attempt at being sexy has totally backfired. I don't know if I need to get ahead of this before my dad finds out. This past weekend was my one-year anniversary with my boyfriend. I wanted to do something cutesy and thought, what if I showed up at his doorstep naked? I took time to do, quote-unquote, the shower.
Mm, yes, the shower.
The shower.
The shower.
The shower.
The shower.
What okay. is the shower?
Oh.
That's you
as opposed to
right?
a shower.
The shower is when you go in and you are prepared. So you're washing your hair. You are shaving all the things. You are exfoliating all the things. I mean, you are, when you step out of that shower, you are as smooth as a seal.
Okay. And yeah, I'm guessing you're getting all the nooks and crannies, making
all
sure everything's
nooks
good.
And crannies.
It's like, it feels like you've been reborn.
Yes.
When you step out, it is the best feeling in the world.
So when you take a shower, you just leave a few parts dirty? You just.
Well, no, everything's clean. Okay. It's just not fully exfoliated.
Got it.
Let me boil it down
or
for
shaving.
You, man.
Okay.
A shower, no washcloth. The shower, several washcloths.
Okay. Several.
You get clean.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you know you're getting soaked.
She says, I put on my short J. Crew trench coat. It barely covered my butt, but it was the only thing I had that I would be able to whip open when I got to the door. I started heading his way, nervous and excited for my surprise, when I saw the blue lights flashing behind. My bare legs turned to jello, and I was like, no, no. I pulled over, trying to remain calm, knowing I was a quarter of an inch from showing all my goods. Cop came up to my window and asked if I knew why he pulled me over. Turns out my taillight is busted. I was so nervous about being naked that the cops started getting suspicious of me and asked me to get out of the
car.
He's like, why are you wearing a trench coat in July?
I got out of the car in nothing but my barely there trench coat and high heels. That's when the cop realized I was the daughter of a fellow officer.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
He ended up giving me a warning. When he handed me my license back, I dropped it, but I wasn't able to bend over and pick it up. So we both just kind of stood there staring at each other. He eventually picked it up, handed it back to me with this odd expression. It was at that moment, I think, he knew I had no clothes on. So I thanked him and awkwardly got back in the car to not expose my bits. I was so shaken, I went back home and immediately put on 3 layers of clothes and told my boyfriend to come to me. I explained to him what happened when he got there, and he died laughing. Not really the support I was looking for. Because now I'm worried this cop will tell my dad, yeah, I pulled over your daughter and she was naked. Do I try to get ahead of this by telling my dad that I got pulled over, or do I just keep my mouth shut and pray this never gets mentioned? Signed, Naked and Afraid.
I don't think that cop is going to tell your dad anything.
I don't think so.
You know why? How awkward would it be for one man to go to another man and be like, I noticed your daughter was naked.
Yeah, that's yeah. creepy.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
As a dad, I'd be like, how would you know? Was she naked in the car? They'd be like, no, she was wearing a short trench coat. Oh, so you were looking at her butt and her legs?
That makes a lot of common sense, but there are a lot of idiots.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Mo, your dad's a police officer. When they, like, would they tell each other stuff like that? Like, did they pulled over another person's kid?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pulled over once, and then I wasn't naked, thank God. but he did tell my, he did let me go, and he gave me a warning. He told my dad, I looked out for your son. It's kind of just like, you know, I looked out for your kid kind of thing. But in a situation like this, I would bake my chances that he's not going to go to this guy and say, I pulled your daughter over and she was naked.
Well, there are some people who don't have that social cue, because this happened to me. So at my old job, I used to do these
like taste testing videos with my old coworker. We would like try different foods around the city. And I made a joke about like balls or something inappropriate. And some guy watched it on our station's Facebook page and talked about it to my dad. And my dad was like, why would you bring that up? Also very weird that you're, I mean, it's a public video. Anybody could watch it, but it doesn't mean you need to say anything. So I think you should probably get ahead of it and just be like, hey dad, just let you know I got pulled over. Nice guy. Everything went well, but just wanted to give you a heads up.
Oh, but then he's going to ask, oh, who pulled you over? And then you're going to have to tell him the name of the cop. Then he's going to go to the cop and go, hey, I heard it pulled over my daughter. Yep. And then details are spilled. I don't think I would say anything. And based on what Mo said with his dad being a cop, the dude might say, like, hey, just want to let you know I pulled your daughter over, but I just gave her a warning. And it'll stop right there.
He'll probably leave the naked part out. I would only cross that bridge if I had to.
Yep. I'm not saying anything.
I'm not saying anything either. It's a Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.